What you should know about the growing troubles of a giant global bank. For Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. All eyes are on Deutsche Bank. It has a potential $14 billion fine hanging over it to settle up with America over mortgage-backed securities around the financial crisis. Its stock is suffering, and there are fears of wider impact. Let's get some perspective on that from Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial. Chris, this is clearly bad for Deutsche Bank, but for people who hear all this, wonder how it compares to 2008, about broader impact beyond just that bank. How should they view all this news?
At the time when Lehman went bankrupt, the fear quotient in the market was the highest since the 1930s. No one wanted to lend money to anyone. And as a result, banks, which are in the business of not only lending their own money, but lending other people's money as well, had a real problem accessing cash when they needed it. So fast forward to 2016, looking at Deutsche Bank, and the good news is it is a commercial bank, and it's operating in the post-Dodd-Frank Basel III world, which means we've had significant financial reforms since Lehman Brothers, and the bank is a lot better capitalized.
So, Chris, as you pointed out earlier, there were a lot of new measures, new requirements, rules put in place after 2008. You don't really know if you've done it right until you really get tested, and there may be some of those rules tested going forward through this. What should people be watching for when they're trying to understand whether the changes that were made after 2008 were enough?
There are a couple of things to think about. One of them is that our banks were better capitalized before the financial crisis than Europe's were. On top of that, our banks were forced by the government to recognize bad loans and get them off the balance sheet. European banks were not. The sense in the marketplace is that all of Europe's banks are more fragile than ours. The degree of crisis we went through in 2008 and 2009 because of losses in the financial sector, actually put us in a stronger place. We've already paid the price of excess. In Europe, they haven't. And my sense is, worst case scenario, is that Europe may have to finally address strengthening its financial institutions as well.
Okay, Christopher Lowe, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Mark.
An important story now, if you're getting on a plane anytime soon, we are several years into the mega merger of American Airlines and U.S. Airways, but a big step in that is happening only this weekend. The company is scheduled to move all its planes and pilots to a single flight operating system. It is a big, complicated thing. Marketplace's Amy Scott explains why it's important.
From the moment Captain Dennis Tager starts his workday flying for American Airlines, he relies on the company's flight operating system for
every bit of flight information, passenger information, schedule information, delays, flight planning, airspeeds, flight path, the route, the altitude, everything.
Since the merger, American has been using three different software systems to dispatch its combined 15,000 pilots and 1,500 planes. U.S. Air brought two systems from its 2005 merger with America West. Tager, a spokesman for the pilots union, says it's taken almost 800,000 man-hours to combine them. Jim Corridor follows the industry for S&P Global Market Intelligence.
You don't want a disruption to passengers. For example, what happened to Delta when their technology system went down earlier this year? And you certainly don't want to have a safety problem, so they need to be very careful.
If it all goes well, the merger will be far from complete. American still has to combine systems for thousands of flight attendants and mechanics. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
FAFSA. If you or your kids are thinking about college, you know that is the free application for federal student aid. Starting tomorrow, you can access and file it for 2017. That's 3 months earlier than usual. That move, part of an Obama administration effort to give students and families a clearer financial aid picture. David Brancaccio spoke recently to U.S. Secretary of Education John King Jr. about how this is working out.
So an earlier deadline for that wretched FAFSA form, October 1st, if people want. What is the problem this earlier deadline tries to solve?
Well, one of the challenges is that families need good information about how much aid they will be able to get in order to make decisions about colleges. And by moving the opening date for FAFSA filing up to October 1st, families will be able to get earlier information about the aid for which they are eligible.
Which makes a lot of sense, and there have been improvements in this FAFSA application process. The form is a little easier, but the key thing has always been, Mr. Secretary, your tax information for the present year. You don't really know how much you made until you get your W-2 form. So how does that work?
On October 1st, folks will be able to download information directly from their tax return from the prior year. So this year, folks will be able to use their 2015 tax information to complete the FAFSA. That should simplify the process greatly for families and students.
Do you think the FAFSA has been a barrier for access to some of this aid in the past?
Well, we certainly know that there are folks who are eligible for Pell Grants, for example, the federal aid that goes to low-income students, who haven't taken advantage of those Pell Grant dollars because they didn't complete the FAFSA. We also know there are students who, from year to year within college, will forget or fail to complete the FAFSA to keep their aid in their subsequent years after their freshman year. So our hope is that by making the process simpler, folks who should be getting aid will be able to take advantage of those opportunities. We know college remains the best investment one can make in one's future.
Now, even as your team at the Department of Education is doing this, some colleges seem to be moving their financial deadlines earlier. I mean, it used to be February, March for many places, but some schools are moving their deadlines to January 1st, maybe earlier. That seems like the colleges, some of them, are tugging in the opposite direction.
We've asked colleges not to move up their deadlines because what we want to do is make sure that we're giving students more options. Certainly, I think colleges are concerned about trying to get an advantage in recruiting the students that they want, but we want to make sure students and families have the best information when they're making their college choice.
Education Secretary John King Jr., thank you very much.
Thank you. Pleasure to talk with you.
That's David Brancaccio, and I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.